Well, there was an excellent article in the Gazette yesterday by Chad Dunleavy. February is, of course, Black History Month. And in that article, six Black Montrealers took a look back at what was indeed a very tumultuous year, and in particular, how they were affected by the murder of George Floyd. Patricia Fourcon is one of those Black Montrealers. She is a lawyer at Miller Thompson, and she joins us now. Thank you so much for your time today, Patricia.
Thank you for having me.
So how are you doing, Patricia? Like, how has this past year been for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the past year, I think, has been very emotional, very demanding. People of every background were shocked by the death of George Floyd, of course, and a lot of them wanted to learn to understand racism, particularly anti-Black racism. And of course, we're grateful for the strong compassion and support, and also for this opportunity to create more dialogue within our community. But it also reopened old wounds, you know, talking about our history, our personal experiences. And I think we all felt like a deep sense of responsibility. Like, it was a moment of history where we felt that we could actually make changes in our community, and we really needed to work hard at creating the right environment for that.
I was just thinking about what that's got to be like to sort of, like you said, reopen those wounds and to relive those things. Does it feel, you know, like the world was paying attention this time, but that's not always the case? So how do you digest that, Patricia?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Because, like, for years, you know, we would see sometimes, you know, adolescents, sometimes kids as young as 12, 13 years old who were unarmed, did not pose any threat, killed by police officers. And every time, it was really heart-wrenching. We felt like it was, it was a lot of grief. And also we felt like we couldn't really talk about it, that people would not understand. So it had been difficult throughout the years to experience directly or indirectly consequences of racism and not feel like we could really dialogue about it, have a dialogue about it, because people would not be open. So yes, it was a huge change to see that there was a real interest and intellectual curiosity to understand what we've been through.
Do you find that dialogue to be particularly closed in Quebec? And, you know, I feel like I always come back to this, but we got to keep coming back to it because we have a premier who refuses to admit that there's systemic racism in this province.
Oh, that's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And it's not only a question of linguistics, you know, words matter. You know, when you have a generation of smart, talented Blacks who, for the most part, have not been able to succeed, as well as non-racialized group, I mean, we as a society, we have to be held responsible. You know, the government has to be held responsible for not having created the environment where all people have the same opportunity. So we have to tell them, yes, we failed to provide our population with the same opportunity, and but also undertake to do better. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not by accident that Blacks are underemployed, that they have higher rates of unemployment, that they earn less than the general population, even though they have the same rates of education. That's systemic racism, and we have to be held responsible for that.
We're speaking with Patricia Fourcon, who is a lawyer at Miller Thompson. We're taking a look back at the year that was. It is Black History Month, and we're also trying to take a look forward. You know, when you talk about being underemployed, it makes me think about representation and how, again, within so many of the important roles in our community, particularly in government, there is a huge lack of representation. Can you speak about that for a moment, Patricia?
Well, I think that is a problem. When you have a government whose institutions do not reflect the diversity of its population, it's a problem because it lacks legitimacy. How can you be legitimate while you basically have very little people who represent Blacks, Indigenous people, and other racialized groups? You have to give those people an opportunity to have jobs and to and jobs of responsibility within the government, just in the judicial system. You have only 1% of judges in Montreal who are blacks, whereas the black population is 9% of the population.
Wow.
That's not acceptable.
No. It's not acceptable. So how do we, like, I'm thinking about the changes that really need to occur for things to really, truly move forward. How do we move forward, Patricia?
Well, I think the first thing is to really have good database numbers,
yeah.
You know, racial, in terms of racial. Because in the context, for example, of COVID, we know, because there's some private institutions who've done the work, that the black population has suffered disproportionately from COVID. More blacks have been victim of COVID, mm-hmm. and of the people who got COVID, more of them have died than in the general population. The government has refused, both the provincial government and also the city of Montreal has refused to provide race-based data on this issue. Whereas Toronto did the job, we have access to race-based data regarding COVID, and it's been proven. The blacks have been one of the population, group of population in Toronto who have been victim of this crisis much more than any other group.
The resistance is so strange, isn't it? Like, I was thinking about Tiffany Callender and the work that they've been doing to try and get that data out there. And it seems to me that our government turns it into, they try to make it a socioeconomic issue rather than, like, a geography issue almost, rather than a race issue. But the two are intertwined. It's you can't separate them. How frustrating is that?
Well, it is. And actually, first of all, they refuse to recognize that there's systemic racism, but also they refuse to provide us race-based data, which would prove that there's systemic racism. So it's really a bad faith, you know, issue. If there were, because when you have race-based data, you take into consideration social economic issues. Even within the same social economic groups, blacks have been affected more than others. And we've seen in the health system, there is a problem. People that are racialized are not always treated with the same dignity as people that are non-racialized. We just have to remember what happened to the horrible death of Joyce Ichakwan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a problem, and we need to be able to have benchmarks, see where we are today, and to see if we've made progress. If we don't have any race-based data to see how our racialized group are treated today, how can we even determine if we've made any efforts in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, and if we don't admit there is a problem, how do we begin to tackle that problem? Patricia, what gives you hope?
Well, I think that hope is within dialogue. And even though the government itself has refused to, of Quebec, has refused to recognize systemic racism, I think that a lot of people from every background do recognize that systemic racism exists and is a real problem. And I think that we have to work with people of good faith, people who are in the government and people who are in the private sector. And I think the private sector can do a lot of positive actions in the fight against racism. For example, they should have their leaders be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
If the group or their company is not as diverse as it could be, and it has to reflect on their remuneration. For example, in my law firm at Miller Thompson, when we basically are evaluated for our remuneration, we have to tell the executive what we personally have done for diversity and inclusion within the firm and within our community, and that is taken into consideration when we determine our income. So I think that should be part of the general assessment of leaders, both in government and in private sector.
And Patricia, I know you co-founded the Quebec chapter of the Canadian Association of Black Lawyers last summer. So listen, keep up the great work. It's great to meet you and great to talk to you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.